I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt. Our colleague Noel is unfortunately under the weather, but he will be returning very shortly.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deccant. Most importantly, you are you, you are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. What a time. What a time, fellow conspiracy realists. So much stuff is happening as we hurtle headlong toward 2023. Big news in Georgia, big news abroad. There's so much going on, in fact, that a lot of things aren't quite making headlines the way that you would expect. As we record today, the protests in Iran are ongoing. Western media has fallen for a little bit of propaganda. And when I say fall, Matt, I mean fell face first, hook, line, and sinker, as the fisher folk would say. So what you and I wanted to do for this week's Strange News segment, one of our last of our year, is we wanted to give some brief updates, conversations at the top that we might not spend the entirety of time on before we get to our two biggest stories, which are international. One, we're talking about Germany, and then one, we're talking about not just China, but quite possibly a city near you. Before we get into that, man, let's just check in. You know, we're always talking off air. We always run into these stories where we think, is this a full episode? Is this something that we use for our show? Or is this something that we just feel like our team needs to know? And, you know, I got to tell you, we got some doozies.
Yeah, I've got one for you, Ben, that you undoubtedly heard about that I think we should be discussing today. And that is an attack that occurred over the last weekend as we record this at two North Carolina power substations. Did you hear about this?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'm really glad you're mentioning this. I heard about it, but I haven't spoken. I spoke briefly with some folks based in North Carolina who pinged about it, but I haven't, I don't have the scoop. Can you give us the long and short? Because I'm really concerned that this one might get missed with all the stuff that's going on in the world today.
No, you're right. It's certainly a local story, but local in this context means it directly affected over 40,000 people in Moore County or in and around Moore County, in North Carolina. That's M-O-O-R-E, by the way. So what had happened was some individuals who were currently unknown at this time decided to turn the old substation into a shooting gallery twice. There were nearly two dozen shell casings recovered most recently from one of the substations where a lot of the equipment was disabled. And the result of this target practice, you know, on this electrical equipment, was that over 40,000 people lost power. And they didn't lose power for just a little bit of time. This is damage to the actual infrastructure, which means I think as of today, many people still don't have power, or they're just now getting power back.
I think what's going on now, like, we're recording this on December 7th, 2022, and what's going on today is that the local authorities are hoping to get power back on tonight at some point this evening. But okay, still, people are without power as we record.
Yeah, I'm seeing over 9,000 customers still without power as of midday today, Wednesday, December 7th. So it's just nuts to think about that, that you could theoretically attack a substation and knock power out for a large group of people or for a large area, right? And that would be both residences and businesses.
Yeah, the idea is, so when this occurred, this happened just this weekend, mm-hmm. right? And like you said, 42,000 people, 47,000, I think, nearly 50,000 people without power. This was something that no one saw coming. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of a story from earlier about attempts to futz with water supplies. Like, no one pays attention to infrastructure until it breaks. You know what I mean? And we talked at length about this. I'm just wondering, because it sounds like, and you know more about this than I do, it sounds as though there's still a lot of unanswered questions about this. Is that correct? Like, they don't know the perpetrators, anything like that? Have they found them?
As of right now, they've recovered casings. And that's really it. I mean, that's, at least to my knowledge, from reporting out of CNN and several other outlets, it's just unknown who this was and why they did it, what the intention was. And that could range everywhere from, you know, general stupidity, let's say, in firing at that particular type of installation, to malicious. It's been titled, quote, malicious and intentional. And they call it an attack. This feels like it could be characterized, if you wanted to spin it this way, as a terrorist attack of some sort, right? Meant to terrorize a group of civilians. It could be painted that way. It would be a matter of just talking about it or characterizing it, right? I mean, it would be spin to call it that, but it's not outside of the possibilities here.
Right. And also the idea depends on definition of intention. Mm-hmm. If they found the people responsible, it is being reported as a sabotage, by the way, folks. Mm-hmm. If the question of terrorism goes into the intent of the perpetrator. So if it's someone who says, I was fired from, say, Duke Energy, and I have a bone to pick to show them how much they need me, then that is not the same thing as, say, someone coming out and saying, I am part of a secessionist movement that believes North Carolina should be an independent state or an independent country, we would say in the U.S. That would be an act of terrorism. But as we'll see, power grids are known vulnerabilities. And there are even more. Ooh, this is going to make sense as we continue with today's show. But I don't know, Matt. This is, to me, this is pretty distressing, because we know that where the attack occurred, ABC is reporting this as well as CNN. The Moore County Chief Sheriff Deputy, who was speaking with the press, did say there were multiple shell casings recovered, but did not say what type of firearm was used in the attack, nor the caliber of those casings. And that's information that they likely have at this point, which means that they likely have, at the very least, a short list of suspects, and they're just not going to move publicly yet, right?
Yeah. You'd imagine that there might be CCTV available, right, for any vehicle that brought people to that location. Maybe, but I don't know. It's very odd. Moore County, by the way, is in between Greensboro and Fayetteville in North Carolina. Those are two of the biggest cities, or I guess it's almost Winston-Salem and Fayetteville, and it's kind of in between those two. And one of the major issues here is where Moore County in North Carolina is. It gets rather cold at night. It's not exactly, you know, in the northern states of the U.S. It's in the south still somewhat, but it's not like it's warm at night. So if you're looking at the temperature, let's look at the temperatures tonight. It's going down to 57 in that area. But then on Sunday, it's going down to 38, and the following Monday, 32 degrees. That's all Fahrenheit. So if you imagine this attack took out both electricity and heat for homes, it could potentially pose a very dangerous situation for humans and animals like pets living in houses that were affected by this, that are on the grid right there. So it is just a really dangerous situation.
Yeah. And look, there are a lot of problems with energy companies in the United States in general. But one thing that we can say in support of Duke Energy here is that they are busting their humps to get the power back on. And if you look at the substation that was attacked, you'll see it looks 10-10 the same as any number of substations in any other part of the country. The main defense those outfits have is a chain link fence and probably surveillance cameras. Now, if this person was unprofessional enough, dumb enough really, to have their phone with them in their vehicle, then it's a relatively trivial matter to find them. But what I think is a bigger takeaway from this is that those stations that you just pictured, they're everywhere, mm-hmm. and they're not protected. And this is an Achilles heel of many, many societies, very easy to attack. So stay safe, folks. I mean, oh gosh, I know we want to do a couple of updates. Matt, what advice would you give? Those are my takeaways. What are your takeaways on this?
Takeaways are, I think you might have to up security in these locations, and that would cost a lot of money, which is probably not going to happen. So hope for the best.
Yeah, because no one cares about infrastructure. But if we're being positive, hey, think of the jobs for your community, you know?
Could be
and
great.
And right now, hopefully, it's kind of an easy job, because right now, there's not a concerted, coordinated attack on multiple substations, which could change very easily, just so everyone knows. Before we go to our two big stories today, I'd like to offer one on this end, a positive one, a relatively positive one. It's an update from a fellow conspiracy realist, a listener of ours, a Shakespearean scholar, excuse me, named Sari Nichols, who hit us up on Twitter just to let us know, thank goodness, Matt, Mission Control, fellow conspiracy realist, San Francisco is no longer going to deploy robots armed with explosives.
Oh,
wow. They thought about it. Maybe they listened to stuff they don't want you to know. Probably not, because they're very busy people. And they were like, it's a bridge too far. You know, maybe we should just blow up people the old-fashioned way with other humans.
I really hope it was the splash damage argument, because I think that's the one you really got to pay attention to.
Yeah, Dr. Nichols points us to this great New York Times article by Eduardo Medina and McKenna Oxenden that says, it was primarily a matter of backlash from activists, critics, and even more importantly, local constituents. So remember that your activism, your opinion, your voice does matter. Even in a world that is riddled with corruption, the San Francisco Board of Advisors had originally co-signed this with an 8-3 vote. And now that's changed. But the people in power there, by a big majority, were on board with this. So luckily, no drones for now. or no remote-controlled explosive-wielding robots for now. Yeah, I don't know, man. The takeaway from that is, I guess, remember to write to people if you're scared about what they're doing. And just so for anybody who missed our previous Strange News segment on this, Matt, could you tell the folks what Splashback is?
The concept here is that these robots that are generally used to dispose of potentially dangerous materials, like, you know, a suspicious bag is found or something like that. One of these robots would go in to dispose of that material, often with explosives of its own, to blow the thing up and whatever mechanism it had in it. They're also used for a variety of other reasons, but in this case, they would be used to confront a potential suspect who is in, like, actively involved in a crime or something like that, or is inaccessible to officers, or it would be a very dangerous situation to send a human officer in to that, like, location for whatever reason. This thing would go in and potentially explode a bad guy, a theoretical bad guy.
Yeah. Divine wind on the streets of San Francisco. That's a World War II kamikaze reference. But it has not happened at this point, and we're going to take that positive energy into our break for a word from our sponsors. And so Matt and Paul and I can check outside our houses to make sure no robots are being sent our way. Then we'll be back and we'll move across the pond. Where do you want to go first, Matt? Germany, you think?
I think we got to go to Germany.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion.
That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have returned. This is an ongoing story. There is not a ton of information out yet, but what you are about to hear will and should disturb you. The largest operation in the modern history of German police occurred just several hours ago today as we record. Germany did a massive raid involving more than 3,000 security personnel, members of law enforcement, basically, and related agencies. They have detained 25 people, and they're out for even more, on suspicion of a far-right coup. As we record, Germany came very close to being overthrown, the government of Germany, and being replaced with a monarchy, because that's always a great idea. This is a far-right group. The charges are that they were going to abduct multiple members of the current government, hold them hostage in warehouses. They were going to use an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse device, to break down the power grid and to act as a beacon or a signal to the people of Germany, who they felt would rise up with them to overthrow the government and install a relatively obscure 70-something-year-old guy as the figurehead, as the new monarch of this new Germany.
That's not good. I think the world maybe has some memories of what happens when there's an extremist group in charge of Germany. Ben, I hadn't heard of this. This must have been just occurring as I was researching other stories for today. I had not heard of this. Good golly. So this person you're talking about has some kind of claim to the throne of Germany?
So Europe is chock full of people descended from royalty, aristocrats, monarchs of old. And when much of Germany transitioned to some kind of democracy or republic, these folks no longer had absolute authority, but they still had all the money and the property that they had accrued over that time. So it's not uncommon to see aristocrats still being the wealthiest people in the country, still controlling a lot of stuff, and they're ordinary citizens in name only, right? I mean, for Pete's sake, Parliament still has a House of Lords. The qualification for being a House of Lords has nothing to do with your personal ability or merit. And that's just true. I know people get mad when they hear about it, and there are all these arguments about tradition. But let's remember, tradition is best defined as peer pressure from the dead, right? Mm-hmm. So this guy, you are right. This guy is – he's not – his name is Heinrich 13. Roman numerals, X and three I's, Heinrich 13. He comes from a family, this is all true, from the House of Reuss, R-E-U-S-S. We're not native German speakers here, folks. Historically, they ruled over some parts of Eastern Germany. And the funny thing is, for years and years and years and years, for generations, the Heinrichs, there were multiple Heinrichs. They were given that name,
like Himmler?
And a number. They were given the name Heinrich, the first, Heinrich the second, on and on and on and on. And then the idea is if they get to 100, I read this in some tabloid, if they get to 100, then they just start the count again.
Oh, wow.
So this group had made concrete preparations to storm Parliament with a small armed group, and they had plans to form an entirely new government to replace the German Bundestag. This gets dirty so quickly because one of the people arrested is a Russian citizen, which naturally leads to accusations that Russia was attempting to destabilize Germany. to, you know, help with their activities, their long-term plan to destabilize NATO and Europe, and then their immediate plan to somehow snatch a victory from the jaws of defeat in Ukraine. So it's quite possible, if Germany was one of the prime movers here, it's quite possible that they didn't really care if the coup worked. They just wanted the chaos, right? But I got to tell you, looked into this Heinrich guy a little bit. There's another guy, Heinrich 14, not Heinrich 13, Heinrich 14, different people. He talked about this guy, and he says Heinrich 13 is, quote, a confused old man who now gets caught up in conspiracy theory misconceptions. And apparently, the rest of the family have been distancing themselves from this guy for more than a decade. But these things, again, they don't occur in a vacuum, man. For years, people have been talking about this. I looked into it. There's excellent reporting about this. I feel like it could be an episode if our fellow conspiracy realists are interested. This stuff dates back, like the active planning kind of dates back to 2015. It's been in the works for a while because 2015, you'll remember Germany is in the grips of, like, one of their hottest debates was immigration policy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And no one outside of an intelligence agencies or geopolitical wonks were really thinking about the present situation in Eastern Europe, right? Thinking, what are all, you know, rabble, 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 these immigrants are taking our jobs, etc. And there was this information war for hearts and minds, getting people who were already kind of Germany's answer to sovereign citizen movements or secessionist governments. They were getting people through the immigration argument. And then when people were coming out against vaccination for COVID-19, then they gathered more force, more storm under the Drang, and like a snowball rolling down a hill, they created more. And they did something crazy, interesting, and quite efficient. They started, you know how religious sects or cults like Scientology will always try to target tastemakers, influencers, powerful people in the world of entertainment.
Yep. Capture them, bring them in. Now they send the message out.
Mm-hmm. This is what people in extremist secessionist groups do, but they focus on the military. Mm. They focus on law enforcement. They focus on political figures. What Germany just did, or maybe Russia, is pretty impressive because they had to operate in secrecy. They didn't know who had been compromised by this movement. And it's nuts because they did all the stuff that you would expect for a successful coup. You know, there are a couple ingredients, right? You want to have a plan to replace the government, right? When we take over, this guy's going to be the minister of apples or whatever. You know, and this guy will be in charge of blah, blah, blah. And this person will be the figurehead. And often when these things occur, that first person who's the new leader is usually a figurehead, just to be honest.
And stays that way until the party's over.
Right. The party's over. We got you a villa or we got you a bullet. Choose one.
So we got this great bunker. Yeah, we got this super great place to get married. And then, you know, whatever.
So they're still looking for people. They conducted searches at 130 different places through the majority of Germany's states. They were searching in 11 different states. Germany has 16 states, right? So that's like the majority of the U.S. being searched for a coup attempt. They called it an anti-terrorism operation. The suspects are linked to kind of a gumbo of far-right secessionist movements. There are movements like the Reich Citizens Movement, who said that Germany's post-war constitution was not legally binding. And therefore, the government of Germany post-World War II has never been legitimate.
Okay.
Well, it also goes into stuff like we've heard in the sovereign citizens movements or related movements here in the United States. People will say, well, why is there an admiralty flag in the court, right? Or, you know, it was my social security number, really my employee number and separate from me.
Right? Yeah. What's the difference between Matt in mostly not caps versus Matt in all caps?
Yes.
Well, isn't there also a deep state component to this? Like, 100%. I mean, almost QAnon level kind of thing. Not the same, obviously. It's not equivalent, but the concept that there is a deep state functioning at the forefront of everything, making the decisions.
Yes. Yeah. You nailed it. There's a lot of QAnon related ideology. There is this prevalent belief that, you know, the Angela Merkels and so on of the world are simply puppets of the real power. And the Germans' privacy rules, Europe's privacy rules in general, are much tighter than those in the US. So we don't have a ton of official confirmation about some of these people. We know that another 27 are under investigation right now. It's probably more. And the idea of overthrowing a government is something that's so hot right now, you know, in recent years, right? It's the new TikTok of political opinions. But but one of my questions is, how close do you think these guys could have gotten? Because if there's a public announcement and they did the raid, then to me that means they were operating, the law was operating silently for, what do you think? I'd say at least 15 months.
Sure.
Like a minimum, right?
Well, whenever any you out there spends a lot of time and effort on any one thing, you can accomplish a whole bunch. If you give someone 15 months to plan and strategize an attack of some sort, especially considering they were contemplating using an EMP, which I don't know how they were going to actually pull that off. I don't know if they expected that to be a real part of the plan. But then you also bring in security professionals, or at least it's been alleged that there are several people within, you know, security forces at various levels of the German government who may have been a part of this thing. Like, if you've got those people who are already infiltrated, I guess, for lack of a better term, or enmeshed within, you know, the locations and the power structures that you're attempting to attack, you might have a chance of pulling some stuff off. And this has just been another existential horror episode, Ben.
Well, not an episode yet, but I mean, we might have to have one. It's always existential horror on this show. You know what I mean?
I guess.
It's true. There's more news coming out. There's a lot we're actually not getting to. We might need to save for an episode. We also might need to come back to this when more answers are clear. But these folks were heavily armed. There are currently people arguing now about how close they actually got, right? And the bigger thing, the thing I want to leave us with before we go to the break, is that similar things have been in the works in Austria, at least, right? In multiple countries. And we know this can be a real threat. Consider the activities of Propaganda Due in Italy. Right? History is closer to the present than we think. And I mean, we would like to hear from people in Germany, right? How are you seeing this news reported? Do you think these were a bunch of just deluded cosplayers who let their fantasies go too far? Do you think they would have actually had the means to attempt this? And if you do you think there's a world in which they would have been successful? We cannot wait to hear. We wish everybody in Germany safety. We hope this doesn't ruin Christmas for you, ruin the end of your holidays. We'll pause for a word from our sponsors. And then while we are traversing the world, we're going to move from Germany to the international sphere.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6
million? Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we've returned. And just quickly, Ben, speaking of armed security, I promise this is only 2 minutes worth of stuff. Did you hear about the gas station owner in Philadelphia and taking action into his own hands?
I have not. What's
yes.
Going
okay.
On?
Really quick, just because it has to do with armed security.
Yeah.
And law enforcement. So there have been a string of thefts in North Philadelphia in this one particular area. I'll give you two streets because they're mentioned by Fox News here. It's been reported a bunch of other places too. Broad and Clearfield, Clearfield. There is a Carco gas station. It's run by this guy named Neil. And Neil has been fed up with all the crime that's happening in and around his gas station. There's just been a ton of it. He's had enough. So what he ended up doing is hiring private security, but not just like a mall security guard or, you know, an off-duty police officer. He hired private security that it's pretty serious. We're talking
holy guards smokes, they're strapped.
Yeah, guards with full Kevlar, with long guns, you know, either rifles or shotguns, and they just hang out in the store and just eye you down, watch all activity in and around the store, and protect everybody. And according to Neil Patel, the owner, crime has really gone down. They've had no incidents since they've had, you know, military level armed guards at the gas station.
And not much loitering either, I imagine.
Mm-mm. And it kind of paints a little bit of a picture of the potential future. But instead of, you know, just gas stations, I'm imagining your local Walmart or Macy's or whatever. Or,
it's true.
You know,
I've seen it, man. You know this. Like when I was not doing podcasting stuff and I was in different parts of the world, You know, it's not uncommon, especially a place that's had a civil war conclude recently. Like you'll see people with full on semi-autos just posted outside a Western fast food franchise like a McDonald's.
I hope that doesn't become a part of regular everyday life here in the good old U.S., but it feels like it might be heading in that direction. I hope
not. Well, maybe you can report them to the police, and maybe it doesn't even have to be the U.S. police.
Oh, yeah. Maybe there's another local station that is not a police station, but it is a police station, but it's not.
You can ask them for service.
Yeah. Can I get some electronic service for my driver's license and or the people causing crime? All right, let's jump into this next story. I'm just going to give you the title. This comes from The Guardian. The story does go back to, it goes back a while, years, in fact, but the reporting out of The Guardian comes from November 17th, 2022. Here's the headline. FBI director, quote, very concerned by reports of secret Chinese police stations in United States. What?
Everybody's ears just pricked up because we've had some folks writing to us about this, too.
We have. We've had several people saying, hey, why aren't you talking about this yet? Well, this is complicated. This is very complicated, and it gets into diplomatic relations. It gets into stuff that requires a ton of explanation and discussion to really, really break the story for, you know, for my understanding and for probably your understanding listening. It's just, it's a lot. Well, let's talk about what was discovered. There is this outfit. It's an NGO, a non-governmental organization that is really, their mission is to watch China and watch some of the human rights issues that have been going on in that country. And that's at least what they say on their website that you can go to right now, safeguarddefenders.com. They'll tell you their whole story and all of their stuff. Basically, they train attorneys to become human rights attorneys or lawyers, human rights lawyers, and then put that staff on all sorts of different issues. And they write reports, such as this report, that the FBI's concerns are based upon. You can read it right now. Search for Patrol and Persuade. Just look for that. Safeguard Defenders, Patrol, Persuade. So let's just go directly to the Guardian article, which is just appears to be a copy and paste job from Reuters. So thanks, Reuters, I guess. Here we go. This report that we're referring to here has said that these numerous stations, specifically stations that were found in New York City, U.S., are an extension of Beijing's, quote, efforts to pressure some Chinese nationals or their relatives abroad to return to China to face criminal charges. So if that was true, this would almost be like an extradition support force or something like that. Ben, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, we're going to get into a particular fascination of mine with this one, Matt. First off, this is absolutely a full episode. Mm-hmm. The big question is, are they doing anything illegal? Like the Confucius Institutes are also soft power. They're not illegal. It becomes illegal when a foreign power is pressuring an American citizen, right? Or an American resident, in the case of the U.S., to engage in espionage, right? Or engage in intelligence activities. And from what I understand, that's one of the big allegations against these service stations. Or how do you say it? Haiwai Fu Zhan or something like that? Operation 1010 or Operation 110 is another name. Anyway, the idea is like, if you are, and this is a great point, I'm just going to set you up for this because you put it beautifully off air. If they're doing things that embassies legally do, if you're supplying support to people, making it easier to talk to your relatives, like you know, helping you stay in contact with folks in your home country, that's completely legal. But if they're coming to you and they're saying, you know, your bubala, your grandmother is going to have a real hard time if you don't take that job at Lockheed, then that's when it gets into a very different part of the chessboard. And I think that's one of the allegations. I think the idea is that one would be forced or coerced into doing illegal activities, or I mean, that's one of the allegations. Mm-hmm. I just wish it was mentioned more, but like, Matt, that's my take. But you said, how is this not like an embassy, right?
Oh yeah. That was my point. Yeah. Because it does in a way feel like an embassy operating. Let's say the example that the FBI was specifically referencing, one of these stations that's in New York City. So according to China, who has been pushing back very hard against the rhetoric coming out of the U.S. and Western sources when reporting on this, they are saying that these service centers are for an entirely different purpose than, you know, possibly coercing Chinese nationals to return back to China or blackmailing in any way or, you know, doing any kind of illegal activity to influence anyone. They are saying that these, quote, volunteer-run sites in the U.S., are real, they're there, but they are not, quote, police stations or, quote, police service centers. Quote, they assist overseas Chinese nationals who need help in assessing the online service platform to get their driving licenses renewed and receive physical checkups for that purpose. That is a quote from an embassy spokesperson, Liu Pengyu.
Okay, so if that is true, then there's absolutely no problem with that, because that's helping people with the often Byzantine bureaucracy, right? Mm-hmm. Of existing, of like having connections to multiple countries. You know, how do you make sure that you have your residency status set up, especially if maybe you're not fluent in English, right? Then you could conceivably, the argument is, go to a place like this and receive that assistance, paid for by the Chinese government, right? Mm-hmm. That's like a cool thing. That's something that other embassies in other countries also do or try to do. You have to be careful about it. But that's not illegal, but
if that's all they're doing, Ben, the embassy is actually saying, that's all they're doing. They're just tech support. They're on the ground tech support for Chinese nationals living in the U.S. and, you know, the Netherlands and all the other countries that these, I don't know, these shops are set up in, whatever you want to call them, these support centers. Why are they secret? Why did the FBI just find out about them? Why did other countries kind of just find out about them existing within their borders? If you go to Newsweek, Ben, I posted an article from Newsweek that was posted not that long ago. And if you scroll all the way down on it, let me see if I can actually find it. It's titled "Full List of China's Unofficial Police Stations Around the World." Again, they don't like them being called police stations. That's right, what everybody service else stations calls them. But you can find that whole list. And it's a lot, from Angola to Bangladesh to Brazil to Canada, Cuba, France, Germany, Ireland, Italy, Japan, Mongolia,
lots
Nigeria,
of African continent, yeah.
Sudan, Panama, Peru, Romania, Slovakia, South Africa, Sweden, Tanzania, United Arab Emirates, Ukraine, the UK, US, Vietnam, Zambia, good Lord. And I didn't even mention all of them.
Yeah, Myanmar. Mm-hmm. You got Mongolia. Mongolia mm-hmm. makes sense. Mongolia is kind of a vassal state for China.
But it's nuts to know that there are so many of them. But again, the embassy spokesperson says it's ridiculous to be talking about these things in this way, and it's irresponsible, and you're just scaring people for no reason. But wouldn't you say that if you were doing something secretive in all these countries? And she also makes the point that the human beings working in all of these places, she says at least, are not police personnel from China.
Okay. Fine. I mean, that's fine. You can put any job title on a paycheck. You really can, yeah. Right? I mean, it was a while ago now. Like, Matt, you remember how when we were working on years ago, we were running the video department, our old alma mater, How Stuff Works. We got the chance to like make our own job titles, an opportunity that was quickly rescinded.
Yeah.
When they saw our suggestions. But I just don't think
that. I was the supreme video commander for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. I think I went with the experience. shout out to our old boss, Roxanne. But what I'm saying is I find that somewhat of a misleading argument. It's technically true while not addressing the concerns that are being raised. For instance, like let's consider first-person stories or allegations. Like Wang Jingyu, who was a Chinese dissident, he fled China after making some social media posts, and the PRC is very, very sensitive about that. That's the reason why you got to be careful about getting in pictures with Winnie the Pooh or posting Winnie the Pooh jokes in China. This is a true story, folks. So this guy, this dissident, gets asylum in the Netherlands, way I heard the story. And then he said, like, Matt, as you noted, there are multiple service stations in the Netherlands. He said that he was getting harassed by a station in Rotterdam and that they were threatening him. And they said, you know, you need to come back to China. Come back home because we know where your parents live.
Mm. Yikes.
It's an episode. There's so much more to this, you know.
There really is. Yeah. We don't have time to get into it right now. But we want to hear from you if you've had any kind of interaction with this, if you know anything about it. Do you work at Safeguard Defenders? Can you give us more information on what's going on? We'd love to hear from you. Are you in a Chinese embassy and you have an official statement? We'd love to hear it. just why not? Why not? We'd love to hear. We just want to understand it. If it really is completely innocuous, awesome. But you'd have to prove it, I think.
Yeah, we want to be fair, and we want to hear from people who've had personal experience. Now, we were able to find some anonymous statements by members of the party running China that were a little bit less public relations spinny centric, but still it seems that there are multiple countries, multiple people in those countries alleging that something rotten's going on.
You know, these things really are, in a way, undermining national sovereignty in the various countries where they exist, if they are in fact completely secret from the government, right? If it's a national institution of any sort and it exists in another country, you got to let somebody know. Yeah, you kind of have to. Those are the rules of the game. That's like, what do you call that, Ben? That's the world order. That's the post-World War II world order kind of rules of engagement that everybody just plays in. And it's not necessarily any kind of, you know, it's not a treaty really or anything that's binding people from playing by the rules. It's just well known that if you don't play by the rules, you're going to have eyes on you, right? And maybe more than eyes.
At least five. Other than that, no comments. But yes, yeah, this quickly becomes a bag of badgers, a messy bowl, a dangerous spaghetti. So we want to hear from you. We can't wait. Thank you to everybody who takes the time to drop us these stories. Thank you to all the the multiple courageous people who have reached out to us regarding ongoing international situations, at times risking their lives and their livelihood. So we want to hear your thoughts. Find us on the internet. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We've got some new stuff going up there. Matt and I are getting able to realize our dream of doing more sketch comedy together, which is a day one thing for us. More of that on the way. If you have something on your mind you'd like to say, you'd like to be part of the show, then why not give us a call or drop us an email?
Oh, yes. First of all, you can call us 1-833-STDWYTK. It's a voicemail service. Please leave a message. You've got 3 minutes. Give yourself a cool nickname and let us know if we can use your message and name on one of our listener mail episodes. Call in and tell us what you think about the revelations that TGI Fridays branded frozen mozzarella sticks that you can find
in your cheddar.
Yeah, exactly. It's just cheddar. Who'd have thunk it? They put mozzarella on the front of the box.
All this terrible stuff is happening in the world, and that's the first time I raised my voice. All right. Well, okay, yes. Yeah, the issues of the day. Hit us with it. We're all in this wild ride together. You are the most important part of the show. And if you don't feel like chatting, if you don't want your voice on record, because let's be honest, you can try for an anonymity, but privacy is a quickly eroding right, then you can instead send us a good old-fashioned email, write everything out, give us the links, take us to the edge of the rabbit hole. We will do the rest. All we need is that starting pistol from you. Write to us. We are
conspiracy@iheartradio.com. Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.